Well, we're continuing our journey through the book of Jeremiah, A Kingdom Broken to be Rebuilt. And the title is The Plot Thickens. I didn't have to use much imagination, as Jill mentioned when she read the introduction from verse 18 of chapter 11, is the plot against Jeremiah. And there is a plot against Jeremiah. The plot thickens. I've got 3 points this morning, and the first is I just want to define the idea of leadership, because Jeremiah is a leader. How do you know that he's a leader? Well, he's getting a hard time. They're plotting against him. That's what happens to leaders. Just ask almost any prime minister. That's what happens. So I want to define leadership for a moment, and you can define leadership a number of different ways, and sometimes when you ask a Christian how do they define leadership, they might ask you, well, do you want a Christian definition or do you want a secular definition? And that always irks me a little bit, because I actually think that good leadership looks the same in the church as it does outside the church. You can define leadership first and foremost within the Christian sphere, I think, by pointing at yourself and looking in the mirror. It is a calling for each and every person who follows Jesus. If you follow Jesus Christ, he has called you to be a leader in this world. I don't know if you've thought about that. I want to give you 2 other definitions of leadership. They are used by Christian leaders, but they are also recognized and used in the secular world. The first is that leadership is moving people from here to there. Wherever here is and wherever there is really depends on your situation and where you've been placed as a leader, but that is leadership, moving people from one place to another. I have a friend who is a bus driver. He is a leader. That was a joke. He's just a bus driver. But he moves people from here to there. But leaders move people from here to there. Sometimes it's making an organization turn around. You're actually getting a whole organization of people and you're moving them from here, where they might be going downhill or slowly dying or having poor sales figures or whatever it might be, to a place where they're no longer doing that, but instead things are turned around. You're moving people from here to there. Another leadership definition is that leadership is influence. That's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes we think a leader is somebody who has a lot of people in their employee. The thing is that that's a potentially weak leadership. Because if I can pay you to do what I ask, my leadership skills don't have to be that great. I might say that my leadership skills will still come into play. Would you rather not work, and would you not work better for somebody who shows you care and concern and an interest in you, but also somebody who is not just interested in the dollar, but interested in making a real and helpful change in this world? Wouldn't you rather work for them, no matter what you're paid? And so working, so leadership is also influence. It's helping motivate people and see people, help people see that something in the future is better. And here we have Jeremiah, and he's in this place where he is under God's command, helping move people from here to there, from a place where they are not treating God well to a place where they recognize that God is their God and that they are God's people. And he's got to do it purely from influence. God tells him what to say, and he's just got to try and do it. If you went back to Matthew 28, 19 to 20, forwards, to when Jesus is about to be taken up to heaven, he actually asks his disciples to be leaders of influence and leaders who will move people from here to there. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." That's what Jesus said to his disciples. He called them to influence the entire world. And from those 12 disciples, we end up seeing 2,000 years later a movement that has influenced millions and millions of people. And indeed, it has helped move people from here to there, from darkness to light, from a place of being lost, to think of things that Jesus said, lost, blind, possessed, without, poor, to a place where, as we were thinking of last week, where they no longer thirst, where they're no longer hungry, where they find rest. It's a call to influence, to move people from here to there. That's what Jesus asked the disciples to do. It's what Jeremiah has to do here. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 to 2, it says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message." Do you remember that last week? That's what we looked at last week. Jeremiah got given this job. "Go and influence the people who are coming into the temple. And try and move them from here to there. Move them from coming to this temple and pretending to worship me. Move them instead to that other place, Shiloh, where I had already once taught my people a lesson. And remind them, influence them, move them from here to there." If you go further back in Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, there was that conversation where God first says to Jeremiah, "You're going to be my leader in this situation." And how does Jeremiah respond? He says, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young." It has been said that the best leader that you can find is the person who does not feel they are worthy to be a leader. And so he says, "I'm too young." It reminds you of Moses, doesn't it? I can't speak well. I'm not the man for the job. They won't listen to me. But it says, the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Do not say I am too young." He says, "You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. And don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." You are to go to influence them. You are to go to move them from A to B. But there's something very, very important here. You see, in that little description, God doesn't just tell Jeremiah what to do. He tells Jeremiah who it is that he is to be. He's to be brave. He's to be fearless. He's to be faithful to God and say what God tells him to say. You see, leadership is not just about doing. It's not just about moving people from A to B. In fact, that definition that leadership is influence is actually really good, because who is it that we want to influence our lives? Some people we will dismiss and say, we don't want them to influence our lives. They're too young. They're too wet behind the ears. They're arrogant. We actually look at who they are, don't we? Is that the type of person that I want to lead me? And so I've defined leadership, but we need to also define what success for a leader is. This is one of the things that can be very confusing, and something that I found difficult when I moved into ministry. Defining success in ministry can be hard, because you come through Bible college and they tell you it's not about having a big church. That's not how you measure success in ministry. And you go, of course it's not. But you also say, but I'll have a big church. I do not choose a small one, I choose a big one. And in this passage, we find that Jeremiah's church is getting very small. They're plotting against him. Did you pick up on that? In verse 18, it says, "Because the Lord revealed their plot to me." God actually tells Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, they're plotting against you." It's a bit harsh, isn't it? Jeremiah's doing what God told him to do. Why aren't they plotting against God? They're actually wanting to shoot the messenger, aren't they? And if you look up verse 9, it mentions it there as well. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, there is a conspiracy among the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem." So God's made it clear to Jeremiah, they're plotting against you. And so Jeremiah says, "I knew it, for at the time he showed me what they were doing." God's even shown to him what it is that these people are doing as they plot. And listen to this. Now this can be how some leaders, and once again prime ministers, might feel at different times. He says, "I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me. Does it remind you of anybody? Isaiah 53:7a, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. That's Jesus. In leadership, we can find that our influence gets tested. In leadership, we can find that when we say to people we need to move from here to there, they can go, no, we're not moving there. We really like here. And if you're going to move us there, then we're going to plot against you. We will bring you down. But it's really, really important in that time of leadership to remember who you are and why you stepped into that place to begin with. Isaiah 53:7, which says he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, is of course talking about Jesus. And in Matthew 3:17, we have those words of God the Father to his son Jesus, which says, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Just note that God is well pleased with him, even if they do plot against him and lead him off to slaughter. Defining success in leadership is this. Success is being who God has called you to be, where he has placed you. It's not actually the results that come beyond that. You see, Jeremiah was called into a ministry that would fail. And you can't blame Jeremiah for that. He was called into a ministry that was without hope. He was gone. He was sent to influence, to move people from here to there who did not want to be moved, who would not be influenced, who would plot against him if he did that. It was a ministry that would fail. These people were going to end up in exile. And so you can't determine his success or failure by that. It has to be on whether or not he said what God asked him to say. Whether or not he was faithful to being who God called him to be, where God placed him. Not on how many people listened. It's hard being a school teacher because they tell you your success on whether or not you're a school teacher is things like NAPLAN results. On whether or not they actually listened. People used to say, are you a teacher? And I go, well, I teach. Whether or not they learn. And there's things I can do that will influence their ability to learn, kids' ability to learn. There's ways I can be creative and gain their interest, but ultimately, I can't let my success or failure as a teacher be simply on the results of kids. Jesus was called into a ministry that would fail. Jesus would be killed. He would die. His disciples would be scattered. And yet his father is proud of him. Because Jesus was who the father asked him to be. And unlike you and I, where we can have our lapses for a second, or a minute, or a week, or a month, or a year, or a decade, Jesus, not for a moment, ceased to be who it was that the Father asked him to be. And so we look at his ministry and we say it failed, and yet of course it didn't, because he was who the Father asked him to be, where the Father placed him. And so the important thing when defining success and the idea of leadership and the idea of Jeremiah in this passage this morning is that we need to remember that God has this. How is it that we can actually be who God has called us to be, where he's placed us, if we don't recognize that God has got this under control? When Jesus is on a cross and he sees his disciples scattered, he doesn't go, oh no, my ministry has failed. Instead, he simply says to the Father, forgive them, they don't know what they've done. But it could be tempting, couldn't it, to do what Jeremiah does in this passage And the great thing is that if you're in leadership and you do this, that's okay, because God's bigger than this anyway. But in verse 3 of chapter 12, Jeremiah, with regards to this plot, says, "Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter." Who does that remind you of? We actually come all the way around, don't we? Jeremiah's going, "Oh, they plotted against me. I was an innocent lamb, off to be butchered, and I didn't even know." Next minute he's saying, "God, take them and butcher them." Jeremiah, for a moment here, loses the plot. And yet you understand it, don't you? When we feel betrayed, we can lash out. It's important to remember that God has this. And so this goes beyond what Jill read for us this morning, but from verse chapter 12, verse 5, there's this interesting verse. It says, "If you've raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses?" God's saying, "You're worn out, Jeremiah. This is beyond you. You can't do this in your own strength." He says, "If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan?" God is saying, "Jeremiah, take a deep breath. It's okay. You don't actually have to do this in your strength. Just be who I've asked you to be, where I've placed you. Just tell them what I told you to tell them. You don't have to manage them. You don't have to strike them down. You don't have to have an arm wrestle or a fight with them. You just be who I have called you to be. Be that leader of influence and let me deal with the rest." Which I think is what Jesus is saying in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, when he says to his disciples, "I want you to be leaders. I want you to be people of influence." And he says, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you," which is what I read earlier, but I left off the last verse where he says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus asks you to be a leader, to carry on his work, to make disciples, to influence the world, to lead people from A to B, but not in your own strength and by yourself, but rather in the knowledge and the truth that he is with you, that he's with me, to the very end of the age. You see, being who God has called you to be means trusting in God more than trusting in yourself. Some of the spin around leadership is that, oh, to be a leader, you have to be this, you have to do this, you have to have these techniques, you have to have these skills. And although a lot of those things can be very helpful, ultimately, for you and I, our ability to lead is going to depend on how much we lean on God. Being who God has called you to be means trusting in God more than yourself or your circumstances, or the actions of others, or even your own voice of shame that might tell you you're not good enough. It might tell you that you're too young. I don't know how many of you feel that you have a voice inside of you telling you that you're too young. But I tell you what, if there's a voice telling you that you're too old, that's wrong too. Because it's not about you. It's about God in you, giving you strength, giving you courage. Well, I've run out of time this morning, and I just want to finish by encouraging us in that, to slow down, to spend time with God, that he might influence us and help us to be the person we're called to be, that we might be an influence for his good and his glory in this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this passage. We thank you for the trials that Jeremiah were put through with this plot against him, and just the helpful reminder it is for us. Lord, you have called each of us into leadership in this world. As followers of you, we are asked to generate more followers for you. Lord, help us never to do this in our own strength, but instead help us to lean on you. And we pray this through your Son's mighty and powerful name.